to turn to 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 2. I want to read it right here off the screen. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. He's the propitiation. We don't use that word, really. We would say sacrifice. Jesus is the sacrifice for our sins, but not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Do we believe that here? Amen. Let's pray over the reading of the Word. Father God, we thank You for the anointing that destroys every yoke of bondage. May the Word of God forcefully penetrate every one of our hearts. And Lord, may we stir up the gift of God that is within us. I pray today that we would speak and minister with the ability that You give. Lord, we're depending on You. We declare today that if there be anybody here that is bound by sin, anybody that does not know they're ready to meet God, anybody today that is on their way to hell, that conviction would come and draw them to Jesus. Lord, let this be a day of turnaround, a day of breakthrough. We glorify and magnify You. We exalt You, Jesus. Be lifted up. In Your mighty name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Tell somebody, I see great things coming your way. It's inevitable. And you may be seated. Amen. Hallelujah. I see great things coming your way. It's inevitable. We're going to have a great time this morning. But the Bible says He is the propitiation for our sins, the sacrifice for our sins. The Bible's very clear. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the Bible also says not just for our sin, but for the sin of the whole world. Jesus was the sacrifice for you and I, but not only for you and I, but for the sins of the whole world. And when we talk about Jesus dying on the cross, in the day that Jesus walked on this earth, there were many people that died on crosses. But the difference with Jesus is that He went to that cross willingly. Everything that He did was for you and I. He took our place. We should have been on that cross. We should have been the sacrifice, but He became the willing sacrifice for you and I. And I'm going to say that when He went to that cross, when thorns were thrust into His brow, it was for you and I. When He had His hands and feet nailed to that tree, it was for you and I. When He was beaten beyond recognition, it was for you and I. And He did it all willingly. Everyone else that went to the cross for their sin or their crime, we're going to tell you something today. They did it dragging their heels. They did it because they were forced. But Jesus, without sin, went to the cross and took our sin. Somebody say, thank God for Jesus today. Now, I know that when we talk about Jesus dying on the cross, and when I talk to people and you get right down to it, many people have questions about their future. They have questions about where they will spend eternity. And today I'm going to say, if you have questions about your eternity, whether you will spend eternity in heaven or hell, at the end of this service, there's going to be an opportunity for you to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if you died, you go to heaven where you will spend eternity. How many believe that this is what the Bible's about, giving us hope that tomorrow can be better than today? Amen. Revelation chapter 20, verse 15. Now, I want us to look at that verse, but I know that a lot of us say that we believe the Bible from cover to cover. But every now and then, I run into people that say they believe it from cover to cover, and then you look at a verse like this. Do we really believe this verse? Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Do we really believe that today, that those that do not know Christ and those that do not have an up-to-date relationship with Him, those that do not know Christ face a terrible judgment? Do we really believe that? Now, I'm going to ask you a few other things. Do we believe that joy manifests when souls are won, and that joy manifests not only on earth, but it manifests in heaven? Do we really believe that? Do we believe that he that wins souls is wise? Do we really believe that the night comes when no man can work, so we need to win the loss right now? Do we believe these things? Now, I believe talk is cheap. We can talk about it, but I believe we need to be people of action. And I am going to just ask you again, do you really believe those things that you said you believe? See, the only part of the Bible you truly believe is the part you obey. The truth today is that people are going to hell and God does not want them there. That is why Jesus came as the sacrifice. He came to take away the sin of the whole world. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. So today I'm going to talk to you a little bit about why we must win the lost, or why you must be a soul winner. I believe, number one, that we are called. Everybody say, we are called. See, we are given a specific job to do. Mark 16:15 says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, I hear people all the time say, I'm praying about going on a mission trip. I'm praying about doing something. I'm praying about it. And I think that we use that as an excuse, because when the Word of God says, go into all the world and preach the gospel, it means that I need to go into my world here in Elizabeth City. I need to go into my world in the next county over, and I need to go into the next state, and I need to go to the world. That is what the Bible said. It does not say that we have time to pray about it. We need to just go ahead and do it. We have two mandates from God in this Bible. We must go and we must send. Jesus said that we were to go into all the world, and then we have Paul that said we should go and send. And when we read in John the 20th chapter, Jesus breathed on the disciples and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. But before he said that, he said, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. He was sending them into the world. And I believe you and I are called to be sent to people all around us. See, I have a world that I can touch. And you have a different world that you can touch. You have different family. You have different people that you run into. Tomorrow, you and I will not run into the same people, but we are called to our world to preach the gospel. This is good news. And I'm going to say something. Maybe you say, I don't want to push my religion on people. I've heard people say, I don't want to push religion on people because isn't it real clear that all roads lead to heaven? Well, that is not what Jesus said. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no man cometh unto me, comes to the Father but by me. Are you understanding? Jesus is the only way to the Father, according to John 14. Do we really believe that? It's time that we get back to disbelieve the Bible for what it says. I don't know, but I think some of you believe Facebook more than you believe Bible. Are you understanding me? Some of you believe social media more than you believe the Bible. Some of you believe your feelings more than you believe the Bible. I cannot go by any of those things. I've got to go by what the Bible says. Every now and then, my daughters will have a conversation with me, and I will say it like this. Well, I get what you're saying, but we must go by what the Bible says. What does the Bible say? I said, your argument sounds pretty good, but let's find the scripture to back up our argument. Are you understanding me? The Bible is the basis for what I live, and I've got to believe all of it. Now, I believe there's others that say, well, I'm not going to go into all the world because there's people that need it right here. Well, you're not doing anything here, so don't make that an excuse either. That's just because you're too cheap to give in the offering. Man, some people just don't like when we give them offering to spread the gospel somewhere else. It's just because they don't like to give. It has nothing to do with people. Some people say, well, I'm not an evangelist. That's not my gift. That's not my spiritual gift. How many understand you cannot use your giftedness or lack thereof to keep you from doing what you are commanded to do? This gospel is only good news if it gets there on time. And there are people waiting to hear. Millions and even billions will respond and will believe if they hear. And maybe you've come today and think that you're insignificant. You're not equipped. You're not ready. You're not ready to tell people about the Lord. You're not ready, but I'm going to say this to you. I believe that is the devil's lie. You might feel like you're insignificant, but what has the Lord done for you? When I was youth pastor years and years ago, we would in the summertime take our kids just out on the street and go street witnessing, and some of them say, I don't have anything to say. I'd say, well, get in the altar until you have something to say, because all I can do is tell you what the Lord has done for me. He set me free. He set me free. He set me free. Are you understanding me? I was bound by sin. I was bound by habits. I was bound by all kinds of things that tormented my life. But when Jesus came into my life, old things passed away and all things became new. Who doesn't need to hear that message in this world today? If you know of anybody, I can't think of anybody that can't be helped with the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But sometimes we've been talked down to so much, and sometimes people will try to disqualify you, and people will say, well, you know, you shouldn't do it because you're not able. But I'm going to tell you, I began my life in my mother's womb with people saying that you're never going to make it. The doctor, when I came out, I had a cleft palate. He told my parents that I would not talk right, that I would not have any way to talk without having years of speech therapy. The doctors told my mom and dad that I would have to have some kind of hearing apparatus on. But my parents did not believe the report of the doctor. They believed the report of the Lord that said their seed would be blessed. My parents took me to an Oral Roberts tent meeting when I was 2 months of age, and Brother Oral Roberts took me into his arms and prayed for me. I've never had one day of speech therapy, and I've not had any problems hearing. I'm here to tell you the only time I have problems hearing is when my wife asks me to do something I don't want to do. Some of you understand that one right there, don't you? But I know. And then Oral Roberts, he prophesied over me that I would preach the gospel throughout the world. I've been to more than 40 nations of the world, but every time I come to Elizabeth City, it is a fulfillment of that prophecy on my life that I would preach the gospel around the world. I'm here to tell you something. They may have tried to disqualify you. People may said you can't do it, and they may tell you all the reasons you can't, but I'm going to give you one today. My Bible says in Philippians, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Somebody say amen today. See, I don't know what you've been told, and maybe somebody tried to disqualify you, but the Bible says in Romans 11:29 that the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. God does not change his mind about you. Maybe 40 years ago, God spoke to you to do something. I say it's never too late to become what you should have been. Are you hearing me today? I don't know what the doctor said. I don't know what the teacher said. I don't know how much you've squandered your life away, but I'm going to tell you, you might be where even the denomination says you're too old. There was a man that Brother Hans and I, we loved his ministry, Brother Bert Clendon, and a great old-time preacher, and I mean he would scorch you preaching, but you left blessed. And I remember him in his 70s. He went to his denomination, the Assemblies of God, and he said, I feel called to go on the missions field, to go to the former Soviet Union. That Iron Curtain had fallen. men to start churches, and they told him, well, we think that you're too old. He went ahead anyway, and today there's more churches started by him in that former Soviet Union than anybody else that ever came along. I'm saying something to you today. Somebody needs to get up and do what God told you to do. Somebody needs to quit using it as an excuse. Your age, your insignificance, where you come from, your money or your lack thereof, Jesus will help you if you'll obey. Somebody say amen. Number two, I believe why we should win souls is we are debtors. We are debtors. Some of you say, yeah, I owe Visa a lot of money. That's not the debtor I'm talking about. Romans chapter 1, verse 14 through 16. Paul said, I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So as much as is in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. This is good. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. He said, I am a debtor. And he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I don't know about you, but I'm not ashamed of the word of God today. Let the word of God come out of my mouth. Let the word of God be in my mind. Let the word of God rule my life. I'm telling you, the word of God is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God will not return void, but it will prosper in that which it is sent. If I'm going to get persecuted, let it be persecuted because I believe in the word of God. I'm not ashamed of this gospel because it is power unto you and I today unto salvation. 2 Corinthians 5:14 says, for the love of Christ constrains us. I believe I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, and the love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. And that love of Christ moves me to do something strong. That love of God in you ought to move you to do something strong for the Lord today. His love commands action. Those of us that are born of the Spirit and filled with the Spirit, deep down we really know that we are debtors. He's done so much for us, we cannot keep it to ourselves. Can I get an amen in here? On January the 12th, 2010, I flew into Port-au-Prince, Haiti, only for the second time. I'd only been there one time before. I only knew two people in the country, and they lived in the north. I was going to take a flight to the north that day and preach a crusade that week. And I got there, and you can drive, but it takes 5 hours if there's no traffic. But you can fly for 20 minutes, and I like 20 minutes better than 5 hours. How many believe the hurricane would have been better for 20 minutes than 5 hours? Okay, there you understand time. So anyway, I'm supposed to take the small flight to the north. When I get there, they said, your flight is canceled. I'm going to try to make this as short as possible. My flight's canceled. I'm there with another pastor from Indiana, and there's been so much rain that there was rain on the runway where we were going past our knee, and I called ahead, and they said, well, we're not doing the crusade anyway until that water goes down, and so we'll work out something for you to do in Port-au-Prince. They called some of their friends, and we're to preach in Port-au-Prince. So I had been to Port-au-Prince one time before, and I stayed at a missions guest house. So it's me and my friend that's a pastor, and this guy from Royal Caribbean decides to join us. He doesn't know what he's doing, but he's coming with us because he thinks we do. All right, so he gets in the taxi with us, and on the way there, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, do not stay at the guest house, Walls Guest House. And I told the taxi driver, I'm not going to stay at the guest house. He said, where do you want to stay? I said, well, take me to Visa Lodge. I ate a meal there one time and I didn't get sick. That's a good place to go in Haiti. Some of you will figure that out later. So we go to Visa Lodge, and I asked for three rooms. They only had one room with three beds. We decided to take it. We're waiting for our ride to come pick us up to preach in Port-au-Prince, and I'm waiting out by the swimming pool. There's a nice swimming pool at this hotel, and I'm waiting beside it because the weather was so nice. I'm reading a T.L. Osborne book. My friend was reading his Bible. Our Royal Caribbean guy, he decided to go to church with us because he was afraid to stay by himself. And we talked him into coming to church, hoping that he'd get saved. Amen? How shall they hear without a preacher? All right, so he comes with us. We're all out there, and at 4:53 in the afternoon, the ground began to shake violently. 4:53 in the afternoon, not only did the ground shake violently, but the concrete, it began to roll almost like a snake. Water came out of that pool the next 35 seconds till it was emptied. There was a terrible earthquake that took place that day. Now, when that earthquake began to happen, I began to pray in the Spirit. My friend, he began to pray in the Spirit. We prayed in tongues, all right? Our new Royal Caribbean friend, he was praying in some kind of tongues, but I didn't need an interpreter. I'd heard those words before. How many know out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks? 35 seconds. We know what happened. Somewhere around 300,000 people died that day. I'm alive. I'm alive, and I will tell you that I believe I'm a debtor to the people of Haiti. I don't understand why I'm alive. Are you understanding that? We tried to go help people. We didn't have a shovel. We didn't have a crowbar. We didn't have a hammer. We didn't have a front loader. We didn't have a bulldozer. We didn't have anything. All we had was us and a building like this. The roof collapsed all in one piece. We heard people crying out. We saw people that were smashed and could not do anything. I'm telling you something. It was a horrible day in my life. Are you listening? We stayed in the parking lot of the hotel we were at all night. It got dark very quick after that earthquake. We were out in the parking lot the rest of that night, and people began to come to me. Lots of people. They said, what are you going to do? We're going to do what you do. I don't know why they were coming to me, but I was walking around praying in the Spirit. The Bible says there's peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. I wasn't like walking around, ha ha ha, but I had a peace about me. They said, what are you going to do? I said, well, I'm going to wait until the morning, and when the morning comes, I'm going to do whatever the Lord says to do. I don't know anybody in the whole country except the two guys in the north. I don't speak any French. I don't speak Creole. I barely speak English. So I'm having problems. Don't know what to do, but in the morning, we decide we're going to try to go down to the airport. When we leave, there's hundreds of bodies lying the road. Dead bodies. Some of them are covered with a sheet. Some are bleeding. Some blood has run out. Some of them are just lying there open. And it's in my mind. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm a debtor to those people. I'm alive. Now we go to the airport. I'd met a guy that night from Dominican Republic. He came up to me. He said, don't worry, I'm going to help you. I don't even know him. He comes up to me. He said, don't worry, I'm going to help you. Well, in the morning, I don't find him anywhere. So we went to the airport. We get to the airport. There is a plane ready to take off, but they won't let us on the plane because they haven't checked our passport. No government officials there to check your passport. I said, well, how dumb is that? I said, there's been a terrible disaster. Nobody needs to look at anybody's passport. People come to America all the time without a passport. It's called illegal. Whatever. People come. I didn't make a stance either way on that. So get over yourself. I just said they're illegal. I'm gonna get back to the word now. Okay. So here I am. We don't know what we're gonna do. They won't let us fly out. I don't have any way. There's rioting on the streets. People are shooting guns. They're breaking into buildings, stealing any groceries they can find. I mean, it is chaos. They're blocking the road. All of a sudden, that guy from Dominican Republic said, I'm going to help you, pulls up in a pickup. He said, hey, man, I tried to see if the road going north was open, but boulders have come down, and we can't go north. But he said, we can go south. He said, get in the truck. I said, I got 12 people here. He said, get them all in the truck. A Chevy Colorado with luggage. Are you understanding this? And I don't travel like a Boy Scout. I'm going to wear a suit in Haiti to preach. So I got stuff with me. So we're in that, he said, it's going to take at least maybe 11 hours to get to the border, just to Dominican Republic, because of the way we're going. But he said, get in. We got 12 people in that truck. Now, while we're about ready to leave, a young man, a Haitian, jumps in the back of the truck. He has a sawed-off shotgun, and he sits down. Nobody knows him. The driver doesn't know him. I don't know him. None of the people know him. I said, does anybody know? Nope. He's just sitting there with his sawed-off shotgun. And we drove through what should have taken us maybe 30 minutes to get out of town. It took us over 2 hours to get to the edge of town. And they're rioting and looting, and everybody in that truck looks like me. We're sticking out like a sore thumb in Haiti. Nobody even looks at us. Now, do you remember when Jesus, he goes through a town and they're ready to crucify him and they want to catch him and they don't even know he's there and he's right there? That's how I felt. You can take this or leave it. But I'm going to tell you something. When you get in a mess, God will send angels to help you. God can send angels to get you out of your mess. And you say, what? Do angels carry a shotgun? I don't know, but this one did. He just rode with us to the border and got out, never said a word to us. I had some hot tamales in my bag, and I was eating them, and he looked like he wanted some. I gave him, even angels like hot tamales. Well, that's some good candy right there. $1 at the Dollar Tree. But maybe you've not experienced an earthquake, but you're still a debtor. He picked you up out of your mess, out of the miry clay. He's blessed you to be a blessing, and you are a debtor. We've got to tell somebody the good news of Jesus Christ. We've got to tell them that no longer do you have to go to hell, but you can be saved. No longer do you have to fear tomorrow, but you can have hope for tomorrow to be better than today. This is the good news. Listen, why must we win the lost? Why must we be soul winners? Number three, we're witnesses. Acts 1:8. But you'll receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and into the uttermost part of the earth. He said, you shall be witnesses. Now, somehow we think a witness is those guys that ride around town on their bikes with black pants, black shoes, white shirt, black tie, blonde hair, blue eyes, elder on their front of their shirt. That's a type of witness. Or the witness that come to your neighborhood on Saturday, they all get out of a minivan, all of them are middle-aged women, and they got their Watchtower magazine. That's a witness. But I don't really think that's what God's talking about here. I honor them for their zeal. At least they believe in what they're preaching. That's one good thing. But they're false. But don't get mad here. Just preaching. Now, I was preaching in Pakistan. Pakistan, the Islamic Republic of Pakistan. This was when Osama bin Laden was still living. I'm preaching there, and I'm on the border of Afghanistan. Afghanistan is completely closed to the gospel. You cannot preach there. But I'm on the border, and the Afghani people are coming across the border and coming to my crusade. How do you know? Because of the way they dress. They look, Pakistanis and Afghanis look similar, okay? but they dress different because of the strictness of the Taliban. They dress more strictly. You get that? So I know they're there. And one night, a young man comes up to the platform, about 20 years old. His legs are twisted. He's crippled. He's walking really funny. And he's got a crooked stick trying to hold him up. And he comes to the edge of the platform, and he speaks to me. He said, "I want to talk to you." I said, "Yeah, go ahead." He said, "No, in private." I went to the very corner of the platform with him. And he said, "I'm from Afghanistan." I knew he was from the way he dressed. He said, "I'm crippled and I want you to pray for me. But before you pray, I want to tell you why I am crippled." And he went on with this story that he lived in Afghanistan and his family were Christians in that Islamic nation. He said to me that when he was a little boy, military men came to the door and broke the door down. And when they broke the door down, they put their rifles to my father's head. And they asked him, "Where is the Bible?" My father would not tell them. He said to me, "They shot my father in front of my eyes." He said, then they turned their rifle on my older brother, asked him the same question, "Where's the Bible?" Isn't it funny how if this Bible means nothing, why are so many people afraid of it? If this Bible's not truth, why do they want to get rid of it? He said, my older brother would not tell them. They shot my older brother in front of my eyes. He said, I'm just a little boy when this happened. He said, those military men took their guns and turned them around and began to beat me with the end of it and crippled me. They broke my legs, and they wanted me to remember what happened to my father and my brother. He looked at me. He said something. He said, my father and my brother did not die for nothing. He said, can you get me a Bible that I can read? I didn't have one that day. I got him one the next day. Can you get me a Bible that I can read? He said, my father and my brother did not die for nothing. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you and you shall be witnesses. The word witness there is a Greek word martus, M-A-R-T-U-S. We get our English word martyr from it. Jesus, these are words of Jesus. He said, you'll receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. And I believe we could literally say, he said, and you'll give your life for me. Now, I'm not talking about dying. I'm talking about living for him. Our family, we got our mind made up. Live or die, it's for Christ. But he said, my father and my brother did not die for nothing. Do you realize that my elder brother Jesus did not die for nothing? He's the sacrifice for your sin. He came to give you abundant life. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He didn't have to go to that cross, but he willingly went there for you and I. He could have called 10,000 angels. He could have said, let's call this thing off. But here's a man that went to the cross without sin, Jesus, to pay for our sin. And we have it. Anybody that says they don't, you're a joke, because we've all sinned. We've all sinned. Jesus died for a purpose for you. I want you to stand to your feet today. Listen to me this morning. I've said it many, many times. We all have an appointment. Sometimes we're late for appointments because of traffic. Sometimes we're late for an appointment because maybe the garage door wouldn't open. We're late for an appointment because we didn't get up early enough. We're late some reason. We have reasons, and some of them are valid. But the appointment I'm talking about, you'll be right on time. It's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. I think about the 300,000 people that died. I saw many of their bodies, and it haunts me. Some of you may not like the word haunt. Sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night and I see those people. I didn't really think it affected me until I went back a month later with supplies to help people. And when, as soon as I got there, it affected me. It still affects me. And I think about 300,000 people. Jesus died for them. And they went into eternity, and I'm thinking to myself, the only consolation I have is in 35 seconds you can call on the name of the Lord. But you know what? If Jesus comes back in the rapture, you don't have 35 seconds. The Bible said he's coming in the twinkling of an eye. That says, I got to be ready. See, you don't know when your time is. Some people maybe get 35 seconds. Some people may get an hour. Some people may roll the dice and say, I'm going to hang out and see if I can wait till the last second. You know why Las Vegas is so big? You know why Atlantic City is so big? You know why the casinos are so big? Because they win and we lose. Don't gamble on your life. You need to know if you're ready to meet God. Are you understanding me? You need to know you're ready for your appointment. If you've got sin in your life, Jesus is the sacrifice for your sin. You're not ready to meet God if you've got sin in your life. If you've got disobedience in your life, you're not ready to meet him today. Jesus is speaking to your heart today. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around this morning. Take inventory of your life. Where do you stand with God? If you had to stand before him right now, this was your appointment. How many here would say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm ready for that appointment and I need your prayer today. Would you lift up your hand in this building really quick? Come on. I'm not sure. Thank you. Thank you. Somebody else, come on. I'm not sure today I'm ready for that appointment. Lift up your hand and make sure I can see it today. Hallelujah. Lord, have mercy in the name of Jesus. I just need your prayer, preacher. I'm not sure about my eternity. Jesus came, and the good news is he died for you and I. And the Bible says if you're ashamed of him, he'll be ashamed of you. You deny him, he will deny you. But he says, he that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. In this building today, I'm not asking what you plan to do 20 years from now. I'm not asking what you do for 50 years from now. I'm not asking what you're planning on doing next week. What if this was your appointment? Are you ready to meet God today? Are you ready? If you're not sure and you want a fresh start and a new beginning, I'm not asking you to join this church, shake my hand, or know how to pray, but I'm asking you to come to this altar right now. Don't hesitate a moment. Get some guts and come. I'll pray with you if you'll come. Will you come right now? Come on, young man. Come on, sir. Come on, in this place. You say, maybe I didn't raise my hand. I'm not asking you to join the church. Come on. You just want to be sure you're ready for your appointment with God. Would you come right now? Father God, in the name of Jesus, I speak mercy in this place. Come on, will you come right now? I'm going to wait 35 seconds. Do you think about that time when I was in Haiti? It was 35 seconds. It seemed much longer while that earthquake was going on. Maybe you have 35 seconds, maybe you don't, but I'm telling you today, you need to get right with God. Come on, is there anybody that have enough courage to come this morning? Thank you for the one, but there's still others that need to come. Come on, come on. There's a young lady down here. There's some men that need to come right now. Come on. You say, what would my wife think? What would my friends think? What would my family think? It doesn't matter. When you have your appointment with God, they will not be there with you. It'll be you and God. It only matters what God thinks. Is there anybody else that'll come? We got two young ladies down here. Come on, is there anybody else that says today, I'm not sure I'm ready to meet God. I'm not sure I'm ready for my appointment with God. I need your prayer today. Some of you ought to be interceding right now. Come on. That's what people do when you're a soul winner. You help the preacher. When he's given an invitation, you pray. Come on, intercede. There's somebody today that needs to not walk out this building like they've come. Come on, I'm speaking to you, young man. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I'm down to 15 seconds. Come on, somebody else, just excuse yourself out of the aisle and join me right here in the front. Would you come right now in the name of Jesus? I want a couple of people to come and pray with these young ladies that are here. I'm going to pray with them as well, but just come and stand behind them and get ready to pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we believe today for great things to come to pass. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. We are debtors. You blessed us, Lord, to be a blessing. I want to ask in your seat right now, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, how many of you would be honest enough to say today, I want to give my life for the cause of Christ? I'm not asking you to be a pastor. I'm not asking you to be an evangelist or a prophet. You say, I just want to give my life wherever I'm at. I want to tell people the good news, and I need boldness and I need courage, but I know the gospel, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. Acts 1:8, but you'll receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. You'll give your life for me. How many in your seat would step out of your seat and say, I want to give my life for him? I wherever I'm at, whether it be Walmart, whether it be at my workplace, I make myself available to him. Come and stand here with me in this altar. I want to pray with you today. Come on. I make myself available. Jesus didn't die for nothing. Come on. I give my life to you, Lord. If that's you, will you join me right here in this altar? Come on, will you come right now? You just say, I'm going to give my life to him. Join me in this altar today and lift up those hands as you come and just begin to cry out to him in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the goodness of God. We thank you for the glory of the Lord is risen and you're upon us today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now listen, all over this building, lift up both hands if you're physically able. I want everybody to pray with me. Those that are kneeling, those that are standing, those in your seat. I want you to help me pray. Maybe you're ready to meet God. Maybe you're ready for your appointment, but you can help somebody that's not. Say this with me now. Dear God in heaven, I need a fresh start. I need a new beginning. I don't want to ever be the same. I know that Jesus Christ died on the cross for me. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I repent of my past. I believe that Jesus has risen from the dead. And I boldly declare with my mouth, Jesus Christ is my Lord, my Savior, my Master. I'm never going to be the same. I give my life to you. I'm available to you. Use me, Lord. Let me be a blessing to others. Let me speak to others about you. Let me lead many to Christ. I'm available, Lord. I'm yours in the name of Jesus.
Hey guys, thanks so much for watching or listening to our podcast. I'm so honored that you tuned in, and I pray the sermon was a great blessing to you. I don't know where you are right now in life, but I know one thing, God loves you and he has a plan for your life. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, how about praying this prayer with me, opening up your heart and inviting the Lord to come in? Come on, just a simple prayer. The Bible says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you one of those whosoevers? If so, open up your heart right now and just pray with me. Just say, Father in heaven, I accept Jesus Christ into my life. Forgive me of all my sin and give me a new start today. In Jesus' name I pray, and you can say amen where you are. Please join us online for more information. We hope you come back and visit us. And we love you dearly. And go follow God and go into the destiny that He has for your life.